The Old Testament reading for the 9th or 10th Sunday of Pentecost proper, is it 13 or something like that in the new scheme of things, is from Ecclesiastes, a few verses from chapter 1, and then a larger little paragraph from chapter 2. Just as a kind of overview, the first two chapters of Ecclesiastes, a.k.a. Kohelet, include an introduction, basically verses 1 through 11, which, as I kind of look at them, are almost like a pessimist's version of Psalm 8. You know, Psalm 8 has the "What is man that you are mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him." And here in these opening verses, the thing is, you know, what is man? Everything else is so cosmic. So what is it that can make man, make humanity, what can make me significant? And so then in verses, from chapter 1, verse 12, through the end of chapter 2, there are some potential principles of significance. But each of them keeps coming up empty. Verses 12 through 18, Kohelet applies himself to wisdom. In the first 11 verses of chapter 2, it's something along the lines of pleasure. The heading for the pericope in the ESV is about self-indulgence. Verses 12 through 17 that lead up to the second part of today's reading are along the lines of prudence. The ESV has living wisely. And then in the verses that we treat, the major part of the text, there it has to do with toil or labor. In another respect, it also has to do with struggle, so that it's not just sort of occupation, but it tends, although that's a significant part of it. Well, the first part includes chapter 1, verse 2. Havel Havelim, Amar Kohelet. Havel Havelim, Hakol Havel. Hevel, the segalet, which is now done in a construct form, Havel plus the plural Havelim, that construct chain is really sort of like a superlative along the same lines as the Holy of Holies, which can be translated that way, or as the most holy place. So this is kind of like saying most empty or vain, or something along the lines of utterly, absolutely worthless or useless. So utterly worthless, says Kohelet. Utterly useless. And then the Hakol Havel, seen some of the English versions do, everything is useless or worthless or vain. But I would also be inclined to say something along these lines. The whole thing, you know, the whole matter is useless. And that's, you know, really that exclamation is what introduces our reading. We move ahead to verses, just some statistics about that. The word hevel and its family of words, 86 times in the Old Testament, 38 of which, or 44%, are by Kohelet, or in the book of Ecclesiastes. So it's really dominant vocabulary for this writer. Moving ahead to verse 12. Now Kohelet actually sort of introduces himself and lays out his charter. Ani Kohelet, I'm Kohelet. Hayithi Melech al Yisrael Birushalayim. I was or became king over Israel in Jerusalem. And it's clearly that connects him, plus the rest of his reputation in 1 Kings connects him with Solomon. Verse 13, V'nathati et libi, I sort of gave my heart or set my heart, lidrosh, to seek, v'lathur, and that's another seeking or inquiring word. So doubling up shows his intentionality of really working at trying to acquire some kind of understanding, and he does so ba-chokmah, according to or by means of wisdom. I set my heart to inquire al kol asher na'aseh tachat ha-shemesh, HaShemayim at this point. I set my heart to seek and to acquire, according to knowledge, about everything which is done, na'asah, nifal participle, under heaven or the heavens. Next line, Hu inyan ra nafan Elohim. Who the demonstrative adjective, inyan is an occupation, and not so much along the lines of a job, but something that occupies one's attention, the stuff that's done under heaven, that is an occupation of kind of a bad one. Inyan ra nathan Elohim. It is a sort of a bad, and that's not morally evil, but more along the lines of a qualitative way, something that's relative to advantage, or in this case, disadvantage. The project that he has for himself, what God lays on people, is a hard thing, which God gives livnei ha'adam, to the sons of Adam, or to humanity, to be, as it were, afflicted by it. Inyan and la'anoth, the infinitive construct of ana, are both from the same root, not ana number one to answer, but ana about number two or three or something like that, having to do with being afflicted. Okay, so he's looking at the sort of the arduousness of life, and how does a person find significance considering the large scope of everything that goes on in the world. Verse 14, Ra'ithi et kol ha'asim she na'asu tachat ha'shamesh. I saw or have seen all the ma'asim, the workings, deeds, which they are done, na'asu nifal of asa, third perfect, third plural common, which are done under the sun. Now, here's the first occurrence in this she-na'asu of, we probably more often encounter the relative pronoun asher. But there is a kind of proclitic or combining form, which is simply she, the shin plus segol, which is then prefixed to other forms. And we'll encounter that several times throughout this text. So it, whether it is a sort of a more poetic form is harder to say, but it certainly is one that more than using a share, sort of a full word, Kohelet uses. So all of the stuff which is done under the sun, vehene hakol hevel. Hene, typically behold. I think of it also as a kind of logical connector, that it is sometimes used in a way that in contemporary English usage, everybody says, you know. So it's sort of, I've seen all the things which are done under the heavens, and you know the whole thing is hevel, worthless, and a striving after wind.
Huh? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. Right, yeah. So, and so it's trying to, you know, the vehene, perhaps in particular, is a way of trying to make sure that people are tracking with what's going on. Or it sort of leads to a logical connector as opposed to something that is actually inviting a sort of vision with the eyes. It's more, do you see with your mind? Now we jump ahead to chapter 2, beginning in verse 18, and we get into this business of dealing with labor or toil and struggle. And he comes right out of the chute and declares his attitude. The sanethi ani et kol amali she ani amal takat hashamish. And I hate, or have hated. And then notice that ani, the independent personal pronoun, follows a finite form. My acquaintance, limited as it is that more often, an independent personal pronoun like this precedes either a participle or something like that, or even a finite form such as we have here. And it sort of emphasizes that when it comes first, I think it emphasizes the I-ness. Here, it's, I was telling Dr. Gibbs on the way over that it's more along the lines of I have hated, you know, what's coming next. I really do. Mm-hmm. Like it's an insistence on the, in a sense, the activity, or in this case the attitude. I hate it. I really do all my labor or toil, amali, she'ani, which I am laboring or laborious, which with I have to labor under the sun. She ani henu, which I will sort of settle or put it to the man she yihye, who is. Kalim perfect third singular masculine of Hayah, who is or who will be Achrai, after me. So notice again the use of this combining form of the relative She Nihenu, Ahifiel imperfect first singular common of Nuh, plus the third singular masculine object suffix, and then also with the sheh yeh yeh. Verse 19, umi yodea, and who knows? I noticed that Bible Works wants to parse the heh hakam as the definite article. And it certainly can be pointed that way. Before an unaccented comment, the definite article can be pointed segol. But Juan Moraoka indicate that so also can the interrogative hey be pointed segol before an unaccented comment. So I think we really have, in a sense, two questions. First is, who knows? And then you see the revia, the little disjunctive accent above the odea. Who knows, or who is knowing? Will, kind of the one who comes after, will he be wise, hecham yehye, or sakal, or fool? Will he be a wise guy or a fool? Va yishlat, bakol amali she amalti, pause after the amali. Let's see. Yishlat, another kal imperfect third singular masculine. This time it has to do with Shalat is to be in charge, to govern something, and yet I don't know whether the successor actually will be sort of the master of the situation, as in having control, or whether it's, you know, he will be in charge kind of whether he likes it or not. He will have to confront certain things. So there's, you know, some of the English versions actually talk about the idea of passing along the fruit of one's labor, and yet in a certain respect it's kind of like the labor gets passed on, whether it has been sort of productive or not. So, and he will have charge in respect to all of my work or toil, which I have worked, she'amalti, and which I have you know, done or sort of approached wisely. The she'chakamti. She, this little relative pronoun again, plus hakamti, chakamti, kal perfect person or common of hakam, to be or act wisely. Takat hashamish, under the sun. Gamze havel, this also is worthless or foolish. Basaboti, and I. Saboti ani, I sort of turned aside, I did, vayaesh et libi, yaesh is really to despair, you know, an indication of Kohelet's frustration. I turned aside my heart to despair, over, al, or about, call he'amal, all the labor, she'amalti, which I perform or labor, takat hashamish, under the sun. So he's having a hard time seeing whether there's any point. Ki yesh adam, for there is a man, and this is kind of like a supposition. It's an anticipation, you know, that there will exist a man, she'amalo, whose work, whose labor, b'chakama, with wisdom, b'chakma, u'beda'at, and with knowledge, u'bekishron, and even perhaps with success, the guy will come along, and he will perform, his work will be done wisely and knowledgeably and well. Ula Adam, but to a man, Shalom, who does not amal, though, you know, has not sort of worked for it, yet. Nenu, yetnenu. He will give it, you know, his work, chelko, his portion. He will give that man his portion. So the guy who has worked for stuff will, you know, now it does seem to be more along the lines of the actual fruit or product of one's labor. One guy will have spent his life working, and it will get handed over to a guy who has not done any work for it. Gam ze hevel. This too is worthless. The ra'ah rabah, and very bad. Again, not ra'ah, not so much morally evil, but it is a real source of frustration in life.
Verse 20. Raw deal.
Yeah, raw deal. Yeah, thank you. 22. Yeah. Ki me hoe la adam. Sort of what will it be or become to the man, the call amalo in all his labor, u the ra yon, in all his striving, in striving. Libo, or the striving of his heart, and in the striving of his heart, Shehu, which he, Amel, is working, striving, Haka Hashemesh. So, let's see, sort of what will be kind of the point of such striving for such a one. Ki kol yamal, for all his days, mak ovim, are pain ba kaas, and vexation or anger, even frustration, inyano, and his, all his days are a pain, and frustration is his occupation, inyano. Gam balaila, also at night, lo shakav, his heart, livo, does not rest. Gam ze hevel pu. This also is worthless or silliness. And the who coming at the end like that, you know, almost seems to do another sort of repetition, kind of like it really is. 24, Ein Tov Ba'adam. There is sort of no good. There is not good in the man who eats she yokal the shata and who and drinks the hera and hifil of Ra'ah makes his life et nafsho tov amalo, makes himself his life sort of see good in his work. Gam zo ra'iti, this also I have seen, ani, I really have, ki miyad ha Elohim he. I've seen that this is, that from the hand of God is this. Ki mi yokal hu mi yahush kutz mimeni, for who will or may eat, and who yahush is hasten, or another, that's hush root number one, and the other one is enjoy, who will eat or may eat, who may enjoy, outside from, and the continental text has outside of me, but the apparatus shows that the Septuagint and a fair number of other manuscripts have mimenu apart from him. So the thing is that who can enjoy life with its eating and other activities apart from God? 26, ki l'adam shetov lifnal, so to a man, to one who is good before him, natan chokma v'da'at v'simcha, he gives wisdom and knowledge and even rejoicing or joy. V'lakote, but to the sinner. Notice that l'adam at the beginning of the verse, no article, so it's to a person who is good before him. But now it's to the, lamed with the pathak, virtual doubling because you can't double the het, to the one who sins, Nathan inyan he gives an occupation, let Soph to gather the leeknos, and another gathering word, so to gather and to gather, and this kind of gets us into the gospel reading, la faith la tov lifne halohim, to give to a good guy, one who is good before God, the God. Gam, zeh, hevel, this too is kind of foolishness or worthlessness. U, ra'ut, ruach, striving after wind. Okay, so that's the kind of reading through the text. Of course, in connection with the gospel, this whole business of sort of finally winding up with an occupation to gather and collect, to keep on gathering and gathering and gathering, building more and bigger barns, the futility of that kind of striving. If there's an opportunity for gospel, I think it really kind of pulls from the issue of who is good before God. Mm-hmm. And there you have to go elsewhere in the wisdom literature to understand that it is, the fear of the Lord is right. The beginning of wisdom, being rightly related to God, to Yahweh through the covenant, and for us through the covenant maker, Jesus, that is how our goodness is established, and it is understanding those things that come from the hand of God that are our blessing in life, that connection to God is what enables our living our lives with contentment.